I need your help with something. While you're listening to today's episode, please leave a review of our show on iTunes or Stitcher and make sure you subscribe to the show on your favorite platform. Both of those, the reviews and the subscriptions, push our show up in the rankings so more people can find out about it. That helps me so I can help you. Let's get into the show.
StayAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. With that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
The Work on Your Game podcast is sponsored by Audible. With so many things to do these days, we don't always have time to sit down and read. So what if you could listen to books while you were driving, jogging, working out, making dinner, or brushing your teeth? You can now. And not only can you get one of my audiobooks completely for free, you also get a 30-day trial where you can listen to as many audiobooks as you wish for 30 consecutive days. Go to DreAllDay.com/audible and start your 30-day trial. Get your free book right now. Now, that's DreAllDay.com/audible. I got four things I'm going to give away to you for free at DreAllDay.com/game. Number one is my first book, Buy a Game. It is my early basketball story from when I first started playing up through my college years. You can get that PDF completely for free from me. Number two is How to Play as Well as You Practice. This is for athletes, entertainers, performers, salespeople, anyone who wants to make sure that your practice performance translates to the actual live performance. Number three, all you players who want to play basketball overseas, I have an exclusive video, How to Find Yourself an Agent to Help You Get Your Career Started. And number four, 101 Content Creation Ideas. For any of you who want to start a podcast, a blog, a website, write a book, be a speaker, 101 ideas for you to go put yourself out there that you will never run out of ways to come up with content. You can get all four of these free giveaways at DreAllDay.com/game. That is DreAllDay.com/game. You're welcome. Congrats on your decision to tune into the show where you learn the discipline of showing up day after day to do the work, the confidence of putting yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness of continuing to show up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you expected as a result of those actions has not arrived at the scheduled date and location. On top of all that, a huge dose of personal initiative for you to go get it. Go make things happen instead of waiting for them to happen. We put all this together, you get the mindset in the podcast that we call Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is keep your eyes on the prize. Don't look at anyone else's plate. Don't look at the food that is on somebody else's plate in lieu of looking at the food that is on your plate. I thought of this topic. The thing that got me thinking about what I'm going to talk about here today is I was listening to an interview of Stephen Curry, NBA basketball player, pretty good guy, pretty good player rather, for the Golden State Warriors. I'm sure he's a good guy too, but I never met him. Steph Curry was being asked about a contract that he had signed. And those of you who follow the NBA closely may know about this. Stephen Curry signed a contract before the current deal that he's on. He has signed a what people saw as a below market contract, or what became a below market contract after his rookie deal, because Stephen Curry, at the beginning of his career, he had continuous ankle issues. He had these ankle problems that kept coming up over and over again early in his career. Thus, after his rookie contract was up, and the rookie contract, for those who don't know, there's a certain pay scale that the NBA instituted after the last collective bargaining agreement between the players' union and the owners. It basically says any rookie who comes into the league, based on where they're drafted or not drafted, they get to fit into these slots. They get to fit into these pay slots. So basically, if you get drafted to the NBA, you already know exactly how much money you're going to make each of your first 3 or 4 years in the league because it is set up to be standardized. The owners instituted that to save themselves from spending too much money on rookies who had yet to prove anything. But anyway, at the end of these rookie deals, as they call them, players who have been pretty good, and Steph Curry was pretty good, he has shown a good amount of promise, usually sign what at the time was a maximum contract. There's a certain maximum amount that you can get. And when Stephen Curry's contract came up, his team, the Golden State Warriors, they weren't willing to offer him this maximum pay contract. And there was a good reason. It's because Stephen kept getting injured. And the team couldn't have been 100% sure that this guy would be durable enough to even play out his contract. So just in case he doesn't make it all the way, listen, we're not going to offer you, Stephen, the full amount. And Stephen Curry had the right to go sign with any other team in the league if he wanted to. But obviously, there was a part of him and his team, his agent, whoever, his negotiation team, that kind of had to agree with it. Like, I do keep getting injured. I do keep having these problems. So until I can prove that I can stay healthy, maybe this is the amount that I'm worth right now. So Stephen Curry, for about 3 or 4 years, was, and by the next year, Steph Curry proved he was a star. A couple of years later, Steph Curry was winning the MVP, and then he won it again the year after that, and he's winning championships. And now everybody's like, man, Steph Curry's one of the top five basketball players on the planet, for any of you who didn't know. That's in my opinion. So within a couple of years, I mean, a year and a half of him signing that contract that was less than what he could have gotten, everyone was saying, look, Steph Curry is being underpaid. He was an underpaid player. He was making over $10 million a year to play basketball, but he was underpaid based on the market. And people would ask him about that. Hey, Steph, how do you feel knowing that you have all these guys who you're better than? You're the MVP. You're winning all these awards. Your team is so good. You've proven yourself to be one of the best players in the world. You're better than these guys, but they're making more money than you. How do you feel about that? Does that bother you? Do you lose sleep over it? When you play against guys who are making more money than you, do you try to prove that you're better than them because you know their salary is higher than yours? The media would ask him these kind of questions. And I have to say that there was a good reason to ask this question, because as much as I follow basketball, and any of you follow professional sports, especially team sports such as football and basketball especially, players do really look at that. There are a lot of players out there who look at these things. I mean, I grew up in the city of Philadelphia. In 2005, there was a football player, T.O., Mr. Terrell Owens, who was playing for the Eagles, who was on what he considered to be an undermarket contract. He had a great season, his first season with the Eagles. They went all the way to the Super Bowl. They lost in the Super Bowl. T.O. played great that season. The next season, Terrell Owens was saying, they called him T.O., he was saying, listen, I'm being underpaid. I want to renegotiate my contract and get paid more money by my team, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles said, listen, it's our policy to not renegotiate contracts. So whatever contract you're on, that's the contract you got to play out. We're not renegotiating the contract. And it basically became a standstill between T.O. and his team. And T.O. did not play. He did what they call a holdout. And this happens in football. It doesn't happen in basketball. T.O. instituted a holdout. He was holding out for the team to negotiate a better contract with him. And they eventually ended up parting ways. They eventually ended up trading T.O. off of the Philadelphia Eagles because he refused to play, because he didn't feel like he was getting paid the amount of money he should have been getting paid. Because he looked around at NFL and he said, okay, this receiver, they're all making more money than me, but I'm better than them. In the NBA, there have been players. John Wall's a guy I thought of who comes to mind, because I've heard him multiple times talk about, before he got his big contract, that there were players who got bigger contracts than him who were making more money than John Wall, yet did not have the success that John Wall had yet in the league. And I'm only bringing up John Wall. I'm a fan of John Wall. I'm bringing him up because he's a guy who I heard talking about this. It was obvious that he was looking on other people's plates, seeing how much food they had, comparing it to how much food he had, and he was kind of pissed off about it. And I understand him being pissed off about it, but this is what happens. So it was a good reason why the media was asking him this question, because these things happen with athletes. And when they asked Steph Curry the question, his answer to the question was really good, and is the topic of today's episode, which was, he said, my father always told me, and for those of you who don't know Steph's father, his name's Del Curry. He played in the NBA as well. Wasn't as famous or as good as Steph relative to the rest of the players in the league, but he was pretty damn good. He was a great shooter. Steph Curry said, my dad always taught me, never look at anybody else's plate. Never look on another man's plate at what he has or what he's doing, what favors have been given to him. You need to just look on your plate and focus on what you need to do. That's an excellent philosophy, and that's the reason why I'm talking about it here on today's show. I was at a convention about 4 or 5 months ago, and I was watching this guy named Daniel Pink. For those of you who don't know who Dan is, he's an author. I think he's written 6 books now. He wrote the book To Sell as Human. He wrote a book called Drive. Another one called A Whole New Mind. He has a new book now, I believe it's called Win. It's all about the science of timing. I have the book, I have not read it yet, but Dan's a great guy. And I was watching Dan give a speech, and he showed this video that illustrated this very point of looking on another man's plate. And it was actually using monkeys. So they were looking at another monkey's plate. They had these 2 monkeys in separate cages, but the cages were right next to each other. And they're the kind of cages that you could see. So the monkeys could see each other and see what the other monkey was doing while they're in the cages. And what would happen is the experimenter would hand a piece of some food to one monkey, then hand the same food to the other monkey. They did it a couple times, and the monkeys would take the food and they would eat the food. They were happy to get it. Then they decided to switch it up a little bit. they gave some kind of special treat. It was maybe something sweeter, like a cookie or something, to one of the monkeys. And then they gave the other monkey the same treat they had been giving it, which was like a cucumber chip or something like that. And the cookie is like seems like a bigger prize than a cucumber chip because it's sugary, it's sweet. And the monkeys, I guess, were smart enough to understand this. So this is what happened. They hand one monkey the cookie, and that monkey takes the cookie and starts eating the cookie. Then they hand the other monkey this celery chip or whatever it was. And the other monkey takes the celery chip, and then he goes to the side of his cage and looks just to see what the other monkey has. He sees the other monkey doesn't have a celery chip. He has a cookie. So he reaches his hand back outside of the cage and throws the celery chip back at the experimenter. It's really hilarious. If you've never seen the video, I had seen that video before years ago. If you look that up, just look up monkeys and I don't even know what you would search, but just look that up with the experiment of the monkeys looking at equal rewards, basically, is what he was talking about. He was saying that at work, you got to make sure that people are getting equal rewards because, like those monkeys, they do look at what's on other people's plates. And if they feel like they're not getting paid fairly or being compensated or rewarded or paid attention to, recognized fairly, then that's going to cause some dissent and that could cause you to lose some good people. So he was saying it was people's nature. That was why he was explaining it. It's in people's nature to look at other people's plates. And if it was in your nature to look at other people's plates, or in your nature to not look at other people's plates, this wouldn't be an episode of this podcast. But since it's not in your nature, I'm making this episode so you can think about it, because this is not something that's going to come to you naturally. You got to choose to not look at other people's plates, even when it seems like things are unfair or unbalanced or somehow biased against you or biased for another person, because all life is going to be like that if you didn't already know. Let's get right into the point. Number one, life is unfair and unbalanced. There it is right there. Life is unfair and life is unbalanced, or at least it will be for you many times, whether it's on the positive side or the unpleasant side. It's going to at least feel that way, even if it's not actually. Knowing this, don't look at what someone else got that you feel you're owed. That's the number one thing that causes people to get into a bad space mentally, because you're looking at what somebody else has that isn't yours, and you're saying, well, I should have that. They got it. I should get it. Well, what if they never got it? You wouldn't be thinking about you needed it, right? Just because you saw them have it, now you feel like it's owed to you. When you look at other people's plates, this is what happens. This is what happened with T.O. because he was looking at somebody else's plate. This is what John Wall was thinking. He was looking at someone else's plate, saw all the food on theirs, and said, well, why don't I have the same amount of food on mine? Listen, you're not owed what somebody else has. You're owed what you have. An athlete will come to me and say, well, look, Dre, I missed one practice and I got benched on my team. But there's another player on the team who missed the practice and they came back and they started in the next game. How is it that I got benched and they started? Things are not fair. This coach is biased. This coach is hating. I can't believe this. This is bullshit. And I say, listen, so what? What does that player starting have to do with you being on the bench? Did you miss practice? Yes. Okay, then you belong on the bench. If that's what the coach said you are. Did you come to every practice? Another player missed practice and still started. So what? Everybody does not have the same rules applied to them. See, my coach, Kenny Macklin, when I came to Penn State Altoona my sophomore year of college, he told me on my recruiting visit, he said, listen, I play favorites. There are going to be players on this team for whom the rule, it seems to be a separate set of rules for them as compared to everybody else. There are players on this team who are going to make a mistake and I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to act like I didn't even see it. And they're going to stay in the game. And they're going to keep getting playing time. They're going to keep starting. You're going to make a mistake. I'm going to yell. I'm going to point it out. I'm going to pull you out of the game. I'm going to bench you. You're going to find yourself not getting as much playing time as you thought. And you're going to look at that and say, wait a minute, this guy did the same thing. He's still playing. I did it. And I'm on the bench. How is that possible? It's just the way it is. That's the way that I coach. That's the way it's going to be. You need to know that before you come here. And then I came there and that's exactly what he did. At least he told me up front. I'm telling you that to tell you this. Your coach doesn't have to tell you that up front. Your coach does not have to explain anything to you. Or any situation, your boss, your supervisor, life in general does not have to explain things to you. Sometimes it's just going to be not fair. Some people are going to get bias working for them. Sometimes you're going to have bias working against you. That's just what it is. Point number two, and today's topic is don't look at anyone else's plate. Things will be unfair and unbalanced. The saying goes, compare and despair. You ever heard that? Compare and despair. It means very simply, there is always someone who has it better than you in some way, shape, or form. There is always someone who has more than you, is doing better than you, it has some better situation than you. There will always be some way that you can look at another person and find yourself to be inadequate or lacking or coming in second in some way, shape, or form. So if you want to feel like shit, all you need to do is keep comparing your life with other people's lives. I guarantee it'll work. If you want to feel bad, if you want to feel like you don't have enough, if you want to feel like you should be doing better. If you want to feel like things are just not working out and the sun never shines on you, here's how you do it. Just keep comparing yourself to other people. You will always find someone who's doing better, has more, has gone further to make you feel worse about yourself if that's what you want to do. Guarantee you'll never have a shortage of someone who's further ahead than you. Your situation is yours to deal with. That means you need to handle your business. It's not about their business, not about what happened to them, how far along they've come, where they came from, who helped them, who they're with, how they're getting lucky and you're not. It doesn't matter. All you need to worry about is handling your business, not their business, but your business. Point number three leads right into this. Handle your own business enough, and you know what's going to happen? You will soon have the plate that everybody else is looking at. Think about that one. See, instead of looking at other people's plate, if you handle your own business enough, pretty soon you'll have the plate that everybody else is looking at. Stephen Curry didn't look at anybody else's plate when he was playing in the NBA on that under market contract, when he was being grossly underpaid. All he did was keep doing his job the way he was supposed to be doing it. And eventually he had the MVP award. Listen, in the NBA, there is only one MVP award. Steph Curry won it. Eventually he won the championship. Only one team gets the championship. Steph Curry won that championship. Then he won the championship again. Only one team can win it. Then he won the MVP again. Only one team can win it. Understand that if you keep focusing on handling your own business and not looking at other people's plates, eventually you're going to have so much on your plate because of you handling your business that everybody else is going to be looking at you like, damn, how do you get so much on his plate? You ever heard of this club called Live in Miami? I've lived in Miami for 10 years. Live is a popular club. It's in a Fountain Blue Resort Hotel. It was a beautiful place. If you ever come to Miami, you're looking for a place to stay, I would recommend the Fountain Blue. It's a resort. It's like Disney World, but without the amusement park. Unless, you know, it depends on what you consider to be an amusement park, actually. But Club Live in Miami. I've lived in Miami for 10 years. I've never been to Club Live, not once. I've seen pics of it. I've heard about it. I've been invited to it, but I've never been there. Because I decided for many years, and still to this day, I still do most of the time, to focus so much on my own business. Focus on building up my own plate. Focus on doing what I need to do, even on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday night, which is the hip-hop night at Live Club. I decided so much to focus on what was on my own plate, building my own empire. My aim was getting to the point where people wanted to learn from me and ask me for advice on what I do, ask me for advice on what they could do. Come to me and say, hey, maybe this guy can give me some information, or maybe this guy has some insight, or maybe this guy will say the line or two or the word or two that will inspire me to go do my thing. See, I couldn't have got that by going to the club. I got that by doing what I needed to do, focusing on my own business. Not saying there's anything wrong with going to a club. I mean, maybe one day I'll go. Maybe if Khaled invites me, maybe I'll go. Maybe. But I'm telling you that to tell you this. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. You don't have to look at what everybody else is experiencing just because it seems like it's fun for them, or they're having a good time, or they're getting more than you're getting, or things just seem to be working out for them. They seem to be getting lucky while you seem to be getting everything but lucky. Understand, it is not your job to look at their plate. It is your job to focus on your plate. You focus enough on your plate, you eat all your food, keep working on your game, you're going to build your muscles up so big, everybody else is going to be dumping things on your plate just for you to eat because they want to see you get bigger. Let's recap today's topic, which is don't look at anyone else's plate. Point number one, life is unfair and unbalanced by nature, or at least it will feel that way to you. Even if it's not really, to you, it will feel like life is unbalanced and unfair. Understanding this, don't look at what somebody else has because it's always going to be unbalanced. It's always going to be unfair. And if you're looking, usually you're looking at somebody who has more. What about the people who have less than you? Are you supposed to feel better than them? Are you supposed to feel worse than that? Listen, you have unbalances that are working in your favor, and there are some unbalances that are working against you. We call this one thing. We call it life. Point number two. The saying is compare and despair. There will always be someone who has it better than you. So if you ever want to make yourself feel like shit, all you got to do is look around and find somebody who's doing better than you. Get on your phone. It won't take you but 5 minutes to find somebody further ahead than you, and you're comparing yourself to them. So if that's what your aim is, go ahead and do it. I guarantee you'll always find suitors. Point number three. Handle your own business enough, and you will soon have the plate that everybody else is looking at. See, well, how you're looking at what somebody else has and what somebody else is doing and how it must be so great and so amazing for them. If you handle your own business long enough and consistently enough and seriously enough, eventually you're going to have so much on your plate that people are going to be looking at you now. Instead of you looking at other plates, people are going to be looking at yours because you built it up so much. And the reason it gets built up is because you are paying attention to it. They say watched pots don't boil. Listen, you watch your pot when there's some spaghetti in it, you will eventually have a meal. You like that metaphor? I just made it up on the spot. But if I keep watching my plate, they'll get better. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com. I got four things I'm going to give away to you for free at dreallday.com/game. Number one is my first book, Buy a Game. It is my early basketball story from when I first started playing up through my college years. You can get that PDF completely for free from me. Number two is How to Play as Well as You Practice. This is for athletes, entertainers, performers, salespeople, anyone who wants to make sure that your practice performance translates to the actual live performance. Number three, all you players who want to play basketball overseas, I have an exclusive video, How to Find Yourself an Agent to Help You Get Your Career Started. And number four, 101 Content Creation Ideas. For any of you who want to start a podcast, a blog, a website, write a book, be a speaker, 101 ideas for you to go put yourself out there that you will never run out of ways to come up with content. You can get all four of these free giveaways at dreallday.com/game. That is dreallday.com/game. You're welcome. I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work On Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.